Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God raise a man from Hawaii to become a Bible teacher who leads tours to Israel while working in commercial real estate? What happens when you have a kidney removed while your wife is recovering from cancer? This is the story of Paul David Yee, a story of God's grace, strength, provision, and hope. That's why we pause, dear friend, at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to share with you the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, that God loves you so much, dear friend. No matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're going through, it could seem so overwhelming that it is indescribable. There is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And today, the living Christ, the resurrected one, is reaching out to you. Resurrection hope, resurrection life. Will you turn your heart to Jesus? Will you put your trust in him? Bring all your cares, all your burdens, confess your sins to the Lord, and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Paul David Yee is a Bible teacher. He's a group leader at Kamaki Christian Church, where he served as an elder for 15 years. He's also, as I said earlier, led tours to Israel. He spent 25 years in the legislative information arena. He's now a commercial real estate broker for Cushman & Wakefield, Cheney Brooks. Paul is married to Henrietta. Paul, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny.
I mentioned Hawaii, but tell us more. Where did you grow up?
I grew up mostly in my childhood was in Kapahulu. We grew up, my father was a businessman, but I think looking back, we were kind of poor, but I didn't know we were poor because everybody around us was poor. So I thought we were just normal.
When you talk about Kapahulu in those days, take us back. Give us let's have a little nostalgia here of what it was like.
My father's retail store was right across the street from Leonard's Bakery. And I grew up playing in Crane Park every day, all day long. And we knew Mr. Leonard Regal. And we knew all the business people that started off in that area. And where Safeway is now, that used to be Love's Bakery way back then. And my parents were always working in the store. I was always playing in the park. So that's how I grew up.
Danny, can't you almost smell Love's Bakery? I can smell it now.
I was just going to say that. and not only us, everyone who is listening that...
Absolutely.
That has had Leonard's Malasadas, that has been there. You must have been catching those wafts, Paul, as a child there at Crane Park.
And Leonard's across the street, Love's Bakery. You can smell the bread being made. Then, loaves of bread was only 8 cents a loaf.
I remember that was a field trip, walking through Love's Bakery in elementary school, and the smells all come back. We're all smiling right now, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Take us now back. Let's stay there. But who influenced you most in your growing up years?
You know, if somebody were to ask me, name your favorite teacher, his name was Mr. Kalua at Kuhio Elementary School. And the reason I remember him was because when I was a young boy, I always got in trouble. I don't know how many people are listening to this, but I'm the only person I know. I got kicked out of preschool. Mrs. Yee, can you come pick up your son and don't bring him back again? That was me. So I grew up Kolohe. I grew up troublemaker. And Mr. Kalua, my fifth grade teacher, would always have to take me out into the hallway and give me a lecture. But he was such a kind-hearted man that he always saw, I guess, the good in me, and he always lectured me to do better, and I am better than that. And by the time he was done, I'd always be crying, going back to the classroom. I remember because he cared.
Boy, as a teacher, that really melts my heart, Paul. Thank you. Because that's what we're all about.
Paul, how did you become a Christian?
I was going to business seminars, and one of the business seminars was led by Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar, of course, was an unashamed sales training type person, and he would always mix in gospel messages in his stories, and it planted seeds. I got to tell him that later on, before he died, before he passed away, I got to see him in person, and I told him how his sales training seminars planted the seed. And one day, friends of my wife and I told us that she started going to church. She didn't say we should go with her. She just said, I started going to church. And in my mind, automatically, I said, we're going to church. And we went the very next Sunday. When we showed up, we got saved the following day on a Monday in the pastor's office, got baptized the following Sunday in the church, and I was in Sunday school that day.
What difference would you say your relationship with Christ has made in your life?
Oh, all the difference. You remember years back when when church services, people would come across with a cardboard sign and say something of their past that was either troubling or an issue, and then they would flip it around and say that that's the transformed person they are now. That was me. I would say, if I had to go on stage with a cardboard sign, one side would say, classroom terror. And then I'd flip it around. It says, Sunday school teacher. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the process? You mentioned Zig Ziglar. You mentioned your friend who said they were going to church.
Yeah, and it the environment at the church was so welcoming, so warming. I immediately felt like I needed to do something. So I started serving in the worship team immediately, went to Sunday school, and then I was so hungry that by a month later, I was in three different Bible studies throughout the week. I was just so hungry, and I kept learning more and more and more. And then one year we moved back. We moved to a church near our home in Kaneohe at the time. And as soon as we walked in, the pastor said, everybody belongs in a small group. I said, okay, I'll do that. And then a few months later, he just said, you should lead a small group. So I did. And that's how it all started. And I started learning. And I guess I started off like everybody else, thinking that I'm the Sunday school teacher. I get to teach people. It made me, I guess, a little prideful until I realized God is gifting me with something. I don't have anything to be prideful about. I need to keep sharing and share with others like he shared with me, like he served, like he did for me. I need to do for others now.
You mentioned small groups, Paul, and I do want to get into the teaching part, and we will. When you talk about small groups, because it sure sounds like you've been in small groups now for, we could even say decades, right?
Yeah.
But what is it about small groups that we often hear about the importance of? Personally for you, what is it about small groups that makes a difference?
You know, I've read so many books on it, being a church leader for a long time and trying to lead others in teaching them how to be small group leaders. But I think it comes down to, number one, small groups allow for intimacy, allow for sharing that some people don't get to share. It allows for question and answer periods. That's question and answer periods you don't get in a Sunday service or a church service, because it only goes one way. Pastor preaches, you listen. In a small group, you get to interact. You have a dialogue. You have a conversation with other people instead of just one way. And I guess that's the way I look at small groups, as a way for some people to open up that they normally wouldn't have opened up.
I love the word intimacy with that, Paul, because I really do think that's the real blessing of small groups.
Well, there's a great deal of trust I sense there, Paul, with a group leader and a member of the group, as well as other members of that small group, a level of trust whereby someone would actually open up and share.
Yeah.
How do you build that? How do you facilitate that?
I'll tell you a story. On one of the early small groups that I led, there was this couple that came in, and the man hardly looked up. He hardly said anything. And even as we went around the room to share, reading a passage or something, he wouldn't read. And we'd skip over him and go to the next one. And pretty soon the wife came up to me and told me, well, there's a reason. He is not as well educated, and he feels ashamed of reading. I said, okay, that doesn't bother me much. And I said, then I won't call on him if he's uncomfortable. But you said something about when we talk about intimacy and trusting, I earned his trust to a point where he started opening up, and then he started reading. He started sharing, and all of a sudden, I became the guy that he could trust, and that now he could, that church was worthwhile for him to go to, because there was somebody who acknowledged him and respected his quietness even.
You're touching a nerve here, Paul. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue on with that. And what I'm getting at is the story inside all of us that we in some form or another, I'll speak rather vaguely with that, yearn to tell, yearn to share. Paul David Yee has been one to create an environment where in that context of intimacy with a small group, others have felt free to share, an openness, a trust. He's a teacher, and we'll talk more about teaching too when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Paul David Yee was born again and baptized at Kamuki Christian Church along with his wife Henrietta in 1978, started with the worship team immediately. They went to Bayview Chapel for about 10 years before returning to Kamuki Christian in 1991. They've been there ever since. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, and our guest today, Paul David Yee, a Bible teacher and one who writes his own curriculum. We'll talk more about that. But if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this broadcast in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download it, share it with a family member or friend, share that link with them. We've got many other programs of guests and topics, a plethora. Share them freely, dear friend. Again, Paul David Yee. Paul, when did you discover your gift as a Bible teacher?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, Danny, because it really, really is a gift. I wasn't trained as a teacher. I didn't go to Bible college. And everything I learned was from either pastors or from other Bible teachers. I read a lot. I listened a lot. But I believe God just gave me this gift so that I can share it. God gave me a lot of gifts, but the one that stood out was teaching. When I was at Bayview Chapel, I did everything. I was the administrator. I was the head of the board. I rewrote the bookkeeping system over there. I did a lot of stuff. I even painted the lines in the parking lot. But the one gift that kept coming back was teaching. And I think it's because because God gifted it to me, and because I was such a troubled kid, that he probably said, I need you to make up, do good with what I give you. And so it's been that, and it's a burden on me to constantly look for ways and things to teach other people.
What are some of the 20-plus Bible curriculums you've developed?
Well, the topical ones are things like people kept asking me. We had this great discussion, and especially in the 80s and 90s, about evolution. So I wrote a whole curriculum on evolution, and I used a lot of science to argue science in evolution. And it's helped some people, I hope. I've had other topics that probably more Bible-related, like the birth of Christ, the last days of Christ. I wrote one on the cults. I wrote one on Islam. That was my longest curriculum, like 84 pages long. And then I wrote on the seven churches of Revelation. I wrote one called Teaching, and it's to teach other people how to teach. And it helped some people, I hope, on that one as well. But then in the last 10 years or so, I've pretty much concentrated on expository teaching only. And so I just take a whole book of the Bible and rewrite verse by verse things that it means to us in everyday living. And it probably is a version of a layman trying to explain to other laymen about the Bible.
I can only imagine how well received it has been.
Danny, I have to jump in and say, sitting in Paul's class, it's just remarkable. It really is an amazing learning experience. The love, his gift as a teacher, it's just outstanding. He is beloved.
Growing up, thank you,
Suzanne.
Paul, I would just say. Perhaps a similar context growing up at our church where I grew up, there was a man who taught. He was an elder of the church, and his name was Tom Masaki, and his work was in insurance. But I'm just thinking about you, Paul, and how I would sit in there and be mesmerized by the gift. And so what a gift you are to Kamaki Christian, what a gift you are to the body of Christ at large. Let's go further. What does a week of ministry look like for you, Paul David Yee?
You got to start off by reading devotions and or reading scripture as much as you possibly can over and over again. But on Monday, our office, the boss is a Christian. The vice president is a Christian, and so Monday mornings we have office devotionals to those who want to participate. So we start off every week with devotionals. On Thursday morning, I meet with a bunch of guys that I've been with them for going on 30 years now. Some of the same guys every Thursday morning. We have breakfast, and then we talk. Saturday morning is a men's group at church. That's about between 12 and 16 men. I make coffee, and we have donuts and coffee, and we talk, and we go through expository teaching. Sunday morning is my biggest group. If everybody shows up, we have close to 40 people in that class. So it's not a real small group, but people can participate as much as they want or as little as they want in that class.
What is it about expository teaching? Because you mentioned two things as we talked about. You said topical when you talk about curriculum. Topical.
Yeah.
And you said, lately I've been focusing on expository teaching. And you talked about books of the Bible. Can you explain more, Paul, about expository teaching?
You know, I think today with so many how-to books and so many books about books, we're inundated but with so much reading that comes across by people trying to espouse their views on how things are and how things work. But if you just went through the Bible and let God's word tell you what is truth and how to apply it to your daily living and what you can do in response, I think that's the best way a church can raise up disciples, is just to teach them the word of God and what the word means. The problem is, if you're not in a small group, it's really hard to interpret the Bible by yourself. You need a small group. You need somebody who could do some studies and research. God has gifted me with very, very good memory. I can talk about the Holy Land and tell you where things are. I can tell you about some history that went on because I remember those things. I have a collection of stories that I bring up every once in a while that I'll use as an illustration of something. And by the way, that is my teaching style. I'll state a principle, and then I'll state an illustration of how it applies and how people may perceive it. But the God's word is the best teaching there is, and it lasted this long. It continues to be practical and unchanging in terms of principle and good guidance.
Well, Paul, I feel like it would be an honor to just sit under you, to sit at your feet as you teach and let the word speak to me as God speaks through the word as you expound. Expound really means to just to explain, to open up, and that's what Paul is doing. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about your travels. I'm glad you mentioned about your memory. It's something that it's a facility that you have that allows you. Well, I think Suzanne, you and I would probably concur. The best expositors are the good storytellers too, huh? They relate
it
that way.
Amen.
And here we have Paul. When we come back, Paul, let's talk about some of your trips to the Holy Land, and tell us some stories when we come back. You're listening to Paul David Yee, Bible teacher, Kamuki Christian Church. I mean, you just listen to the warmth and affection that Suzanne has, and I think it just spread throughout the body of believers there. And today, even beyond, Paul David Yee, a gift to the body of Christ, expositor, one who loves the word. How can you tell? He studies the word. He's immersed in the word of God. He'll share more heart to heart with you and some stories when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, there's just certain people where you wonder how they know so much, how they've collected so much knowledge. Well, of course, it comes from a lot of study and a lot of dedication. A consistency in that, Paul David Yee, a Bible teacher, he not only does it, but he's also working. He has his own job, a job in commercial real estate, and he has taken people on tours to the Holy Land. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maher, my co-host. We're grateful you're with us today. This is a real treat. A man gifted to teach the word. You know, there are some who do it willingly and God uses them. But then when you come to one who really is like God kissed them with this special gift, Paul David Yee is that man. Paul, how do you fit in your schedule all that you do and then take tours to Israel?
Oh, Danny, it's not like I lead a lot of tours. It's just that 2008, first time we're planning on going to the Holy Land, and as we were prepping for the travel and the trip, everybody's excited, and they asked me, "Why are you going?" And I said, "You know, my father's Chinese. His parents came from China. My mother's Japanese. Her parents came from Japan." I said, "But the heritage I feel like I need to know is not in that part of Asia. My heritage is in the Holy Land, and so I felt like I needed to go. And I had been studying Israel and history and geography for 20 years by then, and so when we first went." For the first time even, I knew where things were. I knew what some history behind them was. And so that passion was there. When I took another tour group there 2 years ago, 2018, we were part of another group, so I didn't have to do the tour guide stuff. But I explained to some people about the importance of understanding our Christian, Judeo-Christian past and knowing what that means. When we study the Bible, it puts places in when we read, it puts context, it puts an illustration, a live illustration where you went there and you say, "Yes, I remember being at Peter's house in Capernaum. I remember being on the Lake of Galilee. I remember where the Sermon on the Mount was given." Those kinds of things. I mean, it brings life to our teaching. It brings life to the book, to the Holy Bible.
Where are your most beloved places to visit when you go?
Oh, definitely Jerusalem, the old town, because there's so many places to see when you're there. And there's places even outside of the city now that you can see that have influence on how we see the Bible. Also, just because we were there I said, you can't go that far and not go to some places like Jordan, where Mount Nebo is, the place where Moses had to stay behind, and the rest of the nation went forward to the holy to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And so you get to see Mount Nebo, and you get to see the places where Jesus might have walked, where the Joshua would have led the people across the Jordan River, all those kind of things that come to life when you get there.
I mentioned before our break that you would tell us some stories. What are you teaching now there at Kamaki Christian, your expository series? And maybe give us a slice of what you shared last Sunday.
In the Sunday group, we are in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter's theme is about suffering and persecution. And besides the book of Acts, missionaries would know very well Acts and 1 Peter, because 1 Peter is about being a Christian and becoming like Christ and expecting or understanding what happens when we suffer in this world. And everybody in this world has suffered in some way, form, or another. Whether it's, and everybody's suffering, they think it's very private, or it's very, they're the only ones that are suffering. Everybody who has been a Christian is suffering in some form or another. And we just have to realize that we're sort of all in the same boat. Everything is just relative. Some people think their suffering is really bad until you meet a missionary or someone from a third world country when they get persecuted. Then you find out that our life, especially here in America, is so, we're so protected in many ways from the kind of persecution they face in other countries. Suffering, whether it's suffering the loss of a loved one, or financially, or something, or physically, or health-wise, everybody has forms of suffering. So we need to look with everyone with compassion. We're not better than everybody else. We're just different. We all suffer in some way or another. In other words, and that's what Peter tells us, and yet at the same time he's telling us, be strong. And in fact, one of my favorite books, In His Steps, that three word title is a book written by Charles Sheldon, is in 1 Peter, and he's saying you're going to suffer persecution, but you're going to have to follow in Christ's steps, following his steps.
How has the Lord helped you, Paul, recently?
Oh,
through difficult times, suffering times?
You know, a few years ago when I was going through some financial difficulties, and I'm taking my dog for a walk, that's my alone time, I'm walking around and I'm going, I trust you, God. I love you, God. I trust. And I would keep saying it over and over again because I didn't want to be ungracious to God. I wanted to show that I was grateful no matter what. Be content in whatever state you're in. That's what Paul would tell us. And so God lifted us up from that. This past year, when my wife went through her routine with cancer and radiation, and then myself in December met with my Thursday morning guys, went to use the men's room, and all that came out was blood. So I checked myself into the hospital and found out that I have a big mass in my kidney. And then a few weeks after that, my left kidney was gone. And people were more concerned and more worried about me than I was about me, because by then God had instilled in me the trust I always should have had in him. In other words, he gave me peace. I can't say that about everybody or every Christian, but God gave me peace, peace that I couldn't understand, peace that other people can't understand. And I felt content. I felt peaceful. I had no worries. And in fact, I had no fear of dying. And even if I died, I had no fear. If that's what you're asking, that's what God has done for me. He's given me this peace and contentment that the world cannot give. And in fact, in my Saturday morning class, I told guys, if you could choose being on a joint checking account with Jesus or Bill Gates, who would you choose? Now, Danny, you and I would easily choose the right one. But some guys question, yeah, but Bill Gates, he's got real money. But the difference is Jesus owns everything. And Bill Gates, he might be a rich man, but I don't know if he has peace and contentment. That the world can't give that. Only Jesus can give us that.
Paul, when we come back from our break, I'd like to ask if you can lead us in a time of prayer. But before that, we'll talk about a few other things, including your career in real estate and how it intersected with the legislative information arena, all as part of the tapestry of the life of Paul David Yee. Sometimes we segment things. We think, well, this is secular. Well, this is spiritual. This is Christian. This is non-Christian. Is it really that? Or does God allow us by his grace as believers in Christ to encompass all aspects of life? When we come back, we'll hear Paul share with us, and then we'll talk about even challenging times, almost to pandemic proportions, and then pray. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me call.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, there comes a time in life when, and it doesn't always happen in even in some people's lifetimes, but there are moments where a cataclysm takes place that really shakes you to the core. I mean, if you thought something was bad, it kind of reminds me of the saying, I was sad because I had no shoes until I saw the man who had no feet. We think about how rough things get, and yet others experience it maybe in a worse way. Or maybe today it is that time for you to really, in desperation, call out to God. Call out to God even if words fail you. Maybe your heart cries out to Him because you don't know how else to express. There's a passage in Scripture that talks about, in the book of Romans, groanings that are too deep for words. Perhaps this is a time. Well, Paul David Yee is living in this time with us. He has recently had one kidney removed. He has seen his wife go through cancer recovery. Thank God for that grace that God has bestowed on them. But today, it's a somber time, and that's why we pray. Because there is hope in the Lord when we come to Him. The Good Life Radio Show here, Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer, and Paul David Yee. Paul, when we talk about and think about rough moments, I mean really, really rough times, what comes to mind? What stirs in your heart?
For me, it probably was more financial difficulties I had, and it put a lot of strain on the marriage. Trying to send my kids to school at the same time, and because of that, it made me stronger. It made me trust God a lot more. And trusting God and leaning on His word and His grace has helped us get through a lot of things right now. And so I'm in a situation now. I'm very content with what I have. It's not like I got a lot. It's just I'm very content with what I have. God gave me this contentment. And I wish other people would have this. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how powerful or how even how healthy you are. It's this contentment that God gives us that should carry people through anything. And because I'm content, I can reach out and help others who are unable to cope with that or unable to get through the difficult times in their life.
Let's talk about contentment, Paul. When you say, I mean, you're talking about 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment. How did you, through financial despair, I'll just add that in, through financial despair, how did you learn contentment?
The thing is, I'm studying it in God's word while I'm going through it, and is that dichotomy in your brain. One side says there's this reality, the other side says there's this spiritual truth, and you're going to have to reconcile both somehow. And at some point, you just say, I trust God, and no matter what I go through, I have to trust Him. And I think that's what happened, and we continued to tithe and serve Him especially. I never stopped serving Him, so it's just continue to serve Him. And at that point, I guess God said, okay, I think I can ease up on this guy a little bit and go work on somebody else who might need a little more disciplining. And I guess that's what it was. Maybe God was just disciplining me and working, making sure my kinks were all worked out and everything.
I really do think, though, that it's one of God's most precious gifts that honestly isn't talked about enough. Because to have contentment in Christ is about as good as it gets, in my opinion. It then does bring the peace that passes all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So when things seem to be falling apart in the world around us, things out of hand, out of control, and we become unsettled and we think about resources or lack of resources.
Yeah.
Does the gravity of the new reality bring to bear a raw feeling of what really matters? What are the most important things? Because other things are stripped away?
Yeah, you're referring to the current situation with the pandemic crisis now? Yeah, you know, earlier you mentioned, and you didn't bring it up again, but it was about my past in working with legislative issues. And I found out, because I was a Christian throughout that whole time, I was telling people not to depend on the government as your savior, and making sure people understood that the government is not our salvation, and don't lean on it or don't expect much from it. And that ties into this pandemic thing, and that is, the world cannot give us contentment. The government can't give us contentment. It doesn't matter how much the government gives you, you still won't find contentment. Unless you find it, basically, you have to find it with God. He's the only one can give us contentment. And the way I explain it is this: if a rich man, he's so rich that he never has to worry about money, neither does his heirs. But if he still thinks he has to make money, then he's not that rich. He might be poor. Just like if you're a person who doesn't have as much, but you're content, that in my definition makes you a rich man. And if you find that contentment in God, you will lack for nothing. I mean, I'm not envious of what other people have. I wish people who are making money, I wish them well. I see people who could use help, and you want to help them, but you can't help everybody. Even Jesus said that. And yet we need to also, at the same time, respect, honor those in authority, especially those in government. God put them there. It said so. Go ahead.
No, Paul, so as you explain that, I think with the remaining time we have, we've got a couple minutes. Could you lead us in a prayer during this time? The talk of finances is going to continue, and health and so on. But please, lead us in prayer as the Lord guides you.
Okay. Well, Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your son, for your sacrifice. Thank you for the word you gave us to inspire us, to lift us up, to encourage us, to see something that the world doesn't see. Your word gives us reason for being content, understanding, so that we can have peace. And that peace is beyond human comprehension. It's what draws people to us. And Lord, use the outward peace that we show others to draw them to you, Lord, and that those of us that have peace and contentment, that we may make sure we keep it in place, in the right place, and give it, make sure it gives glory to you, our Father. Lord, I pray for those who are listening to this message today, that you would help them to reach out to you for this peace, this contentment that you can gift to them. Lord, I ask that you present yourself to them real, so that they can look at you and your word and know that there is hope and salvation and grace and mercy and compassion in this world that the secular world cannot give. So I ask, Lord, that you give all those there that patience and the understanding that will come from achieving all of this. I pray for Danny and for Suzanne. I pray for this radio program, that it will reach many others that who need this and who are hungry for God's word. And we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul.
Paul, thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your compassion. And thank you for your faithfulness in serving our great and glorious and merciful God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Inspiring words from Paul David Yee. My friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe, hey, this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Go to thegoodlifehoy.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation to help you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Psalm 119:16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Paul David Yee. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave